right now. Let's go to Will Brutz, also senior attorney at the law firm of William W. Brutzo. William, am I pronouncing the last name correctly?
You're pronouncing it perfectly with a little bit of Italian flair. I appreciate
that. Two Z's with the T sound.
That's right, my friend. You got it right.
The Brutzo. You're going to talk to us about a couple of things. Both of us, Laura and I, shook our heads when we read these articles. We need to help explain this to us. Let's start with the constitutional right to a lawyer. How could that possibly be wrong? I don't understand.
Yeah, it sounds kind of wacky to me. This gal was pulled over after leaving a bar and apparently made an illegal right turn, but it was determined the police were staking out the bar, which is very common in these kind of DUI cases.
Sure.
And so her public defender filed a motion saying, hey, listen, she was pulled over not because of a traffic issue, but because the cops are leaving a bar. He won. And the district attorney's office went ahead and appealed that decision, but they said that even though she had a public defender in the lower court proceeding, she would be denied any sort of representation at the appellate level, meaning that this person who speaks limited English would have to defend herself on fourth and right seizure.
I've lost why they were able to pull that off. What were the criteria?
What the appellate court said was that she's not entitled to a lawyer at the appellate level.
How did they decide that?
Well, what they determined was that unless the person's in jail, then they aren't entitled to a lawyer. So there are rules in California regarding when people are entitled to have a lawyer.
In an appeal. This is strictly an appeal, right?
Strictly an appeal. And this isn't even actually an appeal. It's what they call an interlocutory appeal, but they're only appealing a part of the proceeding, not the final verdict. So it's even more of a specific narrow area. And so the appellate court determined that she wasn't entitled to have an attorney. So you can imagine basically leaving it to this layperson to argue very complex Fourth Amendment issues. It's just not going to happen. So right now it's up on appeal in front of the Supreme Court of California, and in my opinion, it's more than likely going to be overturned. I don't think we can reasonably expect a layperson to be able to argue, Fourth Amendment issues.
Forget about a layperson. I mean, this is someone, the regular people. I've never heard of this, that you're going to face charges in an appellate court without an attorney.
It's very, very odd. Now, just to be clear, so let's suppose you get convicted on a misdemeanor,
right,
and you go to jail. So
right.
The court's not contesting that you're entitled to have an attorney to help you on appeal. But what they're saying is, because the person wasn't convicted, this was sort of a decision, basically a suppression motion was granted, sort of an intermediary decision that ended up keeping certain evidence out, meaning the prosecution could not proceed. Because it's that sort of medium area, they're denying that you have the right to a lawyer. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If she's entitled to a lawyer, at the trial level, she should also be entitled to a lawyer at the appellate level. So that's why it's up in front of the appeals court. Of course, the local public defender's office is going nuts. The Innocence Project is going nuts. A lot of folks who believe strongly in the right to counsel are filing amicus briefs with the Supreme Court.
If they were able to sustain this, does it set a standard that we would have to be concerned about in California?
I mean, just imagine, even an educated person they don't have the money for an appellate lawyer, and so they would be left trying to argue the nuances of Fourth Amendment. It's a ridiculous situation. So I've seen some people commentating on it. They believe that maybe this is the beginning of an attack on the right to counsel generally. It is expensive. I mean, think how much a public defender's office, costs. And all the counties have public defender's offices. On the other hand, how expensive is it for people to be denied justice, to be denied due process? So,
it goes against
on.
The very nature of our justice system. To deny
it wasn't that long ago. I mean, 1961 is when the right to counsel was actually decided by the Supreme Court.
Was it that recent?
It was pretty recent. It's pretty recent. So, those of us who live now, we can't imagine it being any other way.
Right.
It's totally unfair, but things were unfair for poor people, certainly, for a very long time.
And I just have to say that the reason I'm giving this some consideration is, so many crazy things are happening in California now. I just think, oh, well, this maybe this is just another one. Normally, if there were a normally functioning government, I would just say, well, this is not going to happen. But
this isn't banning plastic straws. This is denying justice.
I'm just saying, so many crazy things are happening that now I'm starting to doubt my judgment when it comes to sort of dismissing things that sound outrageous.
You know, I don't know where this particular judge came from, but it just seems to fly in the face of, you know, 50 years, 60 years of precedent. So, yeah. You know, I don't know anything about this particular judge, but it just seems like a very odd decision and contrary to the way things have functioned for many years now.
Well, let's move from the Fourth to the Second Amendment and talk about open carry. This is another thing that caused Laura and I to shake our heads. Tell us about this.
So what happened was the San Francisco Appellate Court basically liberalized gun laws, and so no one would ever associate San Francisco with liberalizing gun laws.
No, that's what made us shake our heads.
or the Ninth Circuit. But, of course, there are several different panels of Ninth Circuit judges, so this particular three-person panel decided 2-1 that you can carry open carry a weapon in states within its jurisdiction, which include Hawaii and California. And what happened basically was,
I'm sorry,
Hawaii
states within the Ninth Circuit jurisdiction?
This is a Ninth Circuit jurisdiction, that's correct.
Okay, so this wouldn't just be San Francisco, this would be anywhere in the...
Right, so the Ninth Circuit covers Seattle, Alaska, Hawaii, California. It covers a vast area. And so it determines law. Now, just to be clear, this is not the final word on this issue, because the Ninth Circuit has sort of an idiosyncrasy, and that is if a panel, one of the smaller panels, makes a decision, then the whole thing can go to what they call en banc, which means that a larger 11 justices as opposed to just 3 can decide to hear the case. So it sort of gets appealed within the appellate court. And I do expect that that's what's going to happen here, because this is sort of a controversial decision. So I think it will probably go up to what they call en banc, which is an 11-judge panel that will decide this very issue. Basically, just to summarize, Hawaiian law says that the only ones who can open carry a weapon are people who are engaged in the protection of life and property, which basically limits it to security guards and cops, mm-hmm. right? And so the court said, listen, a state can reasonably prohibit open carry of weapons. However, this is not reasonable in this particular panel, the Ninth Circuit's opinion. And so they determined to be unconstitutional and said that basically you have made it wide open. So now you can open carry guns according to this decision.
Huh. So is that now law?
Well, temporarily, until it goes up on bank, and then it can be reversed. But right now, it is the law that you can open carry a weapon.
And did they specify the procedure to be privileged for that?
You know, so it doesn't. All it did was it basically knocked down this open carry law in Hawaii.
So wait, I just want to make sure. So I could just go out and get a gun and just carry it around, and that would be...
Well, no. Now there's other laws that still apply, so you'd have to go through a background check in California, at least, so to make sure you don't have, you know,
no, I get it,
but once
I got a gun, I could just walk around with it. I don't have to, in any fashion, I could walk around with it now.
That's what this decision says.
Oh, my God.
That's the decision. And this happened, you know, relatively recent, so... You know, where it's going to go from here, and of course, a lot of people in California and Hawaii, I'm sure, very upset about this happening. But this is what this particular panel of the Ninth Circuit decided.
It sounds wilder than Texas. You know, where I consider the laws pretty wild. It's like and how long is this window likely to be open? Do we know?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know how quickly the Ninth Circuit en banc panel is going to come into function. I believe that they can essentially operate on their own, so they can decide, okay, this issue needs to be considered en banc, and then it can go up to the en banc panel. And it would probably be reversed, I'm guessing, because to me, it seems as if the Hawaiian law isn't overly, you know, restrictive.
Right.
Wow.
That's really...
These are head shakers today, so we really appreciate you helping us sort of understand it.
Yeah.
What kind of law do you normally practice?
I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Okay.
So I've been doing it for 25 years.
So my worry would be...
Some of these issues, certainly the right to counsel issue was a very pertinent Second Amendment right, you know, gun carrying, this sort of thing, you know, very pertinent to what I do every day.
So what happens if, while they're deciding this, people decide they can open carry and law enforcement isn't given the memo?
I was thinking that same thing. We call Will Brito.
Yeah, exactly.
And in other states, there's been, even in Texas, where it used to be you couldn't open carry a weapon. In 2016, that changed, and you could carry it in certain places. But this was a real issue for law enforcement. They're like, well, how do we know if the person has gone through the permit process? Because in Texas, you have to have a permit to open carry. And how do we ask somebody without violating their constitutional rights? And this is a real issue. And, of course, you can imagine, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm at my local shopping center and I see someone with a weapon strapped to their hip, I'm going to freak out. Right. And this is this is one of the problems.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, yes. I mean, one of the problems.
One of the problems.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be, I would think your life would be in danger if you walked around with a gun in a holster right now and cops saw you. You know what I mean? They would just tell you to lay down.
Yeah.
Like, get down right now.
Right.
I think they probably would. You know, there are some folks who are determined to turn us into the Wild West, and I just not something that I think most people want to see. They don't want to, be getting their cup of coffee and notice the guy behind them has a Glock strapped to their hip.
Especially with the road rage in California. I don't want to know that.
There's enough stress in society. Right. We don't need to give people guns on top of everything else.
Well, again, tell us your law firm and your website.
Law Office of William Brusso. It's brusolaw.com. Serving people for 25 years.
Well, and you're serving us today by helping us understand these complicated and head-shaking stories. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you so
much. My pleasure.
All right, Will Brusso, senior attorney at Brusso Law. 800-222-5222 is our phone number. This is Midday Live.